rotation so she can look ahead and know what day she's supposed to be singing. We cannot let these young people slip through our fingers. We just absolutely cannot do that because the cost is too great. The consequences are too awesome. I've got two Bibles here, one here and one over there. If this one don't work, I'm going to go get the other one. They're both King James, so shouldn't be any discrepancy. And what I'm going to do for the next couple of minutes has nothing to do with what I might end up preaching. But this idea of holiness just got on my mind. And if we were to canvass the auditorium tonight, the sanctuary, and say, give me your definition, your understanding, your meaning, what you interpret holiness to be, if we got 50 people, we'd have probably 50 different ideas. And I'm sure most of them would be right. I don't know how to put it. I really do not know how to put it in just a focal one-sentence deal. But I do believe it comes out to being like hungering for God. If you are separated from the world, severed the relationship with evil and wrong, instinctively there is going to be a hunger in your heart for God Almighty. Amen? There's going to be, David said, I've set the Lord before me at all times. Moses goes to that burning bush, and he is absolutely awe-stricken, not by entertainment, but by the presence of God Almighty and the voice of God. And he goes to the mountaintop, Sinai. He comes down to the glory of God. Holiness, maybe it could be said it's the glory of God. And then when we understand it's the glory of God, then we start backing off. Well, wait a minute now. If it's the glory of God and I'm not being touched by holiness the way that we understand it, then something is wrong with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, I can't live in cohort with the world and live in fellowship with God. Can't do it. I'm not talking about, you know, this, that, and the other. I'm talking about I've got to make a decision. I've got to choose. And I think and I'm not picking on anybody, but I think the church world has chosen for the last two or three decades to embrace more of the world. And we've got the mentality that says, let me see how close to the world I can get and still make it to heaven. The story is told, I've heard it many times through the years, a well-to-do gentleman needed a chauffeur, and he lived up in the mountains, and he put out the appeal, I need a chauffeur, and he was a well-to-do person, so there was quite a few candidates. He said, each one of you in your own turn has got to take me on a journey around the mountain, and I will gauge you. And so the first one got in there, and he got so close to the edge that half of his tire was off the edge. He was a daredevil. Got back, and he said to the man, how did I do? He said, well, I'll let you know. And three or four come like that, and they got close, and finally they got the last one. He got in the automobile, and he cranked up, and he started driving, and he almost was scraping the rock. They had more room over there on the edge of the mountain than they did. And the owner said, I noticed that you were almost scraping the rock. He said, yes, because I don't want to fall off. The gentleman said, you are hired. I want my driver to see how far from the pit they can get. Amen? When I come into holiness, that was the mindset. It wasn't a set of rules and do's and don'ts that was imposed on me. Please understand me. I'm not saying there's some things that we need counsel on, that we need urging and exhorting. But I was totally consumed with hunger to be godlike. I didn't really know what godlike was. I didn't have an interpretation of it. But I knew as the days went on when I began to withdraw, I knew what not being godlike was. Hello? Am I preaching? Listen to what, I've got Thompson Chain reference here, and in the back, if you're familiar with it, it's got topics. Are y'all ready for just two or three? Somebody smile at me. It takes the anxiety away. Somebody said, okay, I got that. These scriptures don't come in continuity. God's holiness. Exodus 15 and 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? 1 Samuel 6 and verse number 20. And the men of Beershemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? Do you see the high altitude or high attitude that these people had concerning God? I'm talking about, oh, glory to God. Who shall not, Revelation 15 and 4, no, I'm sorry, Psalm 99 and 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. I mean, those are things. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy, for the Lord our God is holy. And one cried unto another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That just makes you want to get over in that league, doesn't it? I want to be around people that are pulling for God. I don't want to be around people that's pulling me from God. I want to be rubbing elbows with the holy crowd. And I'm not being cute. I want to be holy. I want to be W-H-O-L-L-Y. Say it. H-O-L-Y. Let's do that again. I want to be W. You that don't know your good is grammar. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Fully. Totally. Completely. H-O-L-Y. I want to be holy from the inside to the outside. The inside is my attitude. I've seen people that met the outside and they had a rotten attitude. Hello, church. I mean, you know, honk if you love Jesus. You better get out of the way. I want to be around the crowd that's pulling. One thing I've had desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Oh, who shall not, Revelation 15 to 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy? For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. These people had a... See, there's internal holiness that deals with your composition, with your attitude. You cannot manufacture it. The fruit of the Spirit is holiness, love, peace, joy. And we do our new converts a disservice when we don't give instructions in righteousness, instructions in holiness. We ought to be able to tell new converts, young or old, this is the way, walk therein. They ought not to catch us like we're this today and that tomorrow. I'm trying to pull us back. My time is limited. I'm 77 years old. Give me another 40 years and I'll be gone. Can I get 45? I'm telling you, we need to be instructing our young generation, the following generation. I looked at these young men and Michaela and all the... We've got to buckle down and make them hunger. I need something that they want. The drug dealer downtown, the drug addict, he's looking. Where are you looking, buddy? What are you searching after? I'm trying to find my man. What about your man? He's got what I need. What do you need? Some of that white powder or whatever it is. He's seeking the dealer. I need something in me that people that know, where's Brother Jethro at? I want to find him. Not a pretense, not a shell. I don't know, I may not get to that Bible. Am I talking to anybody? I'm exhorting you. There's internal holiness. Internal peace of God that passeth all understanding. A holy man is at peace with God. A holy man is, be ye content. Whatever state you're in, North Carolina, South Carolina, be content. He did say that, didn't he? Whatever state you're in, don't be always wanting to trade that 30-30 for 365 or whatever they are. Be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I am rich tonight. I am. You're rich tonight. I've got God Almighty, Jesus the Son, the Holy Ghost, and He's. I want you to be glad you came to church tonight. The singing has been awesome, been beautiful, been beautiful. All right, let's go a little bit more. There's not only internal holiness, there is external holiness. Now the amens are just dying down. When I grew up, here's the terminology of the critics. Well, he's an old clothesline preacher. I don't know where the term comes. They don't say no clothesline preaching ever because nobody has clotheslines. But I know they pushed the envelope too far. I know they did, maybe they got carried away with it, but they meant well. You've heard me talk about the woman in Smithfield. You know the story. If I miss it, you'll be able to correct me on it. I mean, I'm driving through Smithfield, Main Street, Highway 7, actually, and I don't know where the church is that I'm going to be pastoring, so I pull off in the open-air market there, and this lady, she had a dress to her ankles, and I don't go around gazing at ladies' ankles, but this lady just stood out like whatever, and she had long hair to her waist. She fit the bill. She was a holiness woman. Oh, I love you, honey. I said, I need to find directions to West Smithfield. She said, just a minute. So much for external holiness. I mean, she had probably been held up as a model to a lot of people. Now, there's a holiness woman. There's external holiness. I do not need to be doing things in my dress, in my language, in my conversation. I don't need to be doing things that's questionable. I need to be adhering to the voice of God. This is the way walk therein. And I need to be careful. Hear me now. I need to be careful about what I allow other people to impose on me. Because the great tragedy that the devil uses, the great weapon that he uses is condemnation. You got to thread that needle carefully, because you can go around excusing yourself, justifying what you do, and say, well, I'm not going to, but the devil loves to condemn. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence in God. You get ready to serve God, to pray. If you're even, I don't care how good you've been that day or that week, if the devil can, he will immediately bring condemnation in. He's not going to brag on you. He's not going to tell you how good you are. He's going to tell you how miserable you are. If you wasn't in no more holiness people, you'd be happy. No, if you were in holiness, people, you would be happy. The joy unspeakable. I can give you 1,000 arguments for holiness. Jesus is the embodiment of holiness. Now, I want to ask you a scientific question, a spiritual question, a true question. According to theology, Where does Jesus live? Say it. In our heart. Now, literally, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But by his Spirit, he is living in my life. If he is L-O-R-D, you got that? Then he's dictating to me. He's telling me go left, go right. He's approving or disapproving. And I must walk close enough to him that if he starts disapproving, I can be checked. I need never, Psalm 32 said, don't be like the animal, like the horse, where they had to pull back on the bridle, control him. Don't do that. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Listen to me. We would rather be safe than to be sorry. When I get to heaven, God willing, I'm not going to be judged on a lot of things. I'm not going to be condemned by how close I tried to get to Jesus. Nobody's going to say, you were a fanatic, you shouldn't have done all that, you just went overboard. I will not regret one thing that I abstained from. I will not regret one place that I chose not to go. Amen? It sounds good to me. Internal. If you're going around fighting the insatiable desire to be like the world, but yet, you know, I go to the Pentecostal church and I can't do it. I want to do it so bad. You don't say that with your mouth, but you say it to your friends on Facebook or something. You know, if it weren't for the old fogies over there, if it weren't for that, we could really have ourselves a time. That's miserable. That's miserable. Don't live like that. Live like I want him. I want to feel the approval of God on my life. When I lay my head on my pillow at nighttime, I just want to somehow have the self-satisfaction of knowing that it was not a wasted day. That it was a profitable day. Internal holiness. Holiness that shines. External holiness. Amen. Eternal holiness. Holiness is not temporary. Holiness is not confined to the planet Earth. The holiest of all is seated at the right hand of the Father. So holiness for a few years down here is going to be wonderful. But when I am translated and I see him in his glory, even though I'm in a immortal body, even though mortality has gone and immortality, in this new holiness body, this new redone body, it's still going to take me back. I read a clip the other day, happened maybe 12, 13 years ago, down in somewhere in one of the towns in Texas. True story, true event. It was a Pentecostal church, and there were big crowds coming, good services, and they had a breakthrough one Sunday morning. A breakthrough is when you break through the barriers. And 3 o'clock that afternoon, there were still hundreds of people just strode out on the floor. 3 o'clock that afternoon. Nobody was trying to get up. Nobody was peeping. Nobody was, the visiting minister came in that night. When he come in, he found people drunk, just wandering around, just in a fog. I want to be able to pass on to these young people what was passed on to me. I don't want to fine-tune it. I don't want to tweak it. I want to give them the pure, unadulterated. I don't want people here's what I'm trying to say. I don't want people to jump on the bandwagon because they want to please me. That's a cheap excuse. I don't go there because the pastor don't believe that we should go. That's a cheap excuse. Graduate. Leave elementary school behind and say, I don't want to go there because it may grieve my Lord. It may be displeasing to him. Hello? I mean, at some point we got to rein ourselves in. At some point, we got to take self-examination and judge ourselves. He said, judge not other, but we can judge ourselves. I need to hold myself up beside the mirror of the Word and ask myself, am I adhering to what's in that book? I mean, that maybe it would do us all good to take 3 days a month and just be mirror days. Am I what I'm testified of being? Am I what I'm supposed to be? Am I living, striving after righteousness? Am I setting an example for the younger people in the church? Am I a covenant keeper? Do you hear? I mean, it would probably do us good the first 3 days of every month to just come and start fasting and praying. I can hear you so excited about it right now. But, you know, why are you fasting and praying over there in church? Because we want to walk upright before God and cast an influence upon this society. I owe it to the population of Beaufort County. I owe it to them as a steward of God's word. I owe it to them to walk before them in a holy way. I owe it to them through this church. This church owes it. Not we're not a club exclusively. But we do owe it to the community that we're in to show them what a holiness church is. It's getting lower and lower and lower. Eternal. I'm just going to graduate from the mortality to the immortality. I'm going to put on my robe of righteousness. See, that's... oh. The first thing that happens when you get saved, after you seal it with your spirit, after you acknowledge it, after you confess it, after you're convinced of it, the first thing that happens, you go to the wardrobe. You go to heaven's wardrobe and you start taking off stuff. Because in heaven's wardrobe, you can't put on what God has got until you take off what you've got. It's heaven's dressing room. Nobody's peeping at you. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I threw that old junk down, the stinking vile, and I thought it was good. I thought I was living. I thought the length of my jacket was right. The length of my cuffs were right. Everything was good. I thought all at once I see now, it's, oh, dear God, look how filthy I am. I take it off, throw it off. Don't want that contamination. And when I stand, don't get embarrassed. When I stand, I'm in an immortal body. I'm in an incorruptible body, so nobody's going to be taking videos of it. And I'm standing there. Nothing between me and God but just who I am. And God opens the wardrobe of heaven. And I look in there and the first thing I see is a robe of righteousness. Woo! I put it in, give me my robe. We shall wear a robe and crown. Amen. And it fits me. I'm not wearing something that is grotesque. I'm not wearing something that makes me look freakish. I'm wearing something that adorns me. Hello? Okay, after the robe of righteousness, there's the garment of salvation. So after, let's bring it back down to earth because I'm losing you. Let's bring it back down to earth. When you get saved, you want to have an exchange. Give up. Give up that old stuff that was carnal. Give up that old stuff that tempted you, that possessed you. I can promise you tonight. I can promise you tonight. You're not going to enjoy. You're not going to appreciate what I'm getting ready to say, but I can promise you tonight. There are people walking around as Christians, who are possessed with things. I don't mean they're demon-possessed. I don't know how far to push that. I'm not getting that. But they're possessed with the idea of this. They're possessed with the idea of that. They're just totally dominated in their thought pattern. They got to do this. They got to do that. Let me tell you something. Lay your neck on heaven's chopping block and let him cut your head off. The garment of salvation. The robe of righteousness. Well, now, I'm talking about here on earth. How many went to the heaven's wardrobe? Anybody go to heaven's wardrobe when you got saved? Woo! I found a new life. I found a new life. If anybody asks you what happened to me, tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. I've got Jesus by my side, and I don't know the rest of it. So you throw the old stuff. Am I preaching ill? I didn't announce when I started preaching. I just kind of slipped into it. You need to go to the wardrobe of heaven. Cast off. It's biblical. Put off Colossians. Put off Ephesians. Put off the works of the flesh. Put off jesting, foolish talking. Put off these things. Put off lying. Put off stealing. He didn't say pray that God would give you deliverance from stealing and lying. That's not in the Bible. He gives you the responsibility. He makes you face it in the mirror and say, my enemy is not the devil, my enemy is me. If I can get me under control, I've got the devil under control. So there in that moment of salvation, you got the robe of righteousness. Righteousness in layman's term is rightness with God. That's 100% properly right with God. You're not working to be right, you are right. I have never seen a half-pregnant woman. Hello? Either you're right or you're not right. I have never seen a half-saved person. Hello? Y'all not going to forget this one. I don't even know whether they're taping it or not. He said he got me going. He's got the goods. Put off these old things and put on righteousness. Put on praise. Put on these things. Well, those things can get dirty. And the reason I know they can get dirty is because Revelation chapter 6 talks about they have washed, chapter 7, 14. They have washed their robes. Where did these come from? They came out of great tribulation. They were given robes. They were granted robes, but they didn't keep them clean. They didn't keep them in proper order. The trumpet sounded, and the church that was ready, somebody say ready, went with Jesus. They had all in their vessels. They were ready. But there was a group of people that had spots on their garment. Where did they come from? They've come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. Do you understand the theology of that? They entered into the tribulation period as Christians. They had robes, but their conduct marred their... Am I talking to y'all? I'm not giving you new gospel, new doctrine. Their conduct had caused their robes to get marred. They got to pay the price. They got to pay the laundry bill. What's going to get them clean? Tribulation. Oh God. Oh God. I know I should have lived right. Would you forgive me? Oh God. Would you just wash my robe? I'm bringing it to you. Oh God. And he does it. See, now chapter 6 talks about people in the tribulation period that is given robes. They're the ones that got saved or get saved in the tribulation. Hello? And then, I'm talking about literally, mentally, I'm talking about putting on, arming yourself as a child of God. The devil, I'm speaking as the Spirit of God gives me inspiration. The devil can smell my flesh. He can detect. And if I'm showing, do you understand what I'm saying? If Philip Jethro, if I'm showing my flesh, so to speak, my attitude, my conduct, if I'm showing, then the devil's going to whip me. but he smells the Spirit too. So therefore, I got to stay covered. I got to walk under the covering of God Almighty. I got to walk under the auspices of God's umbrella. Hallelujah. There's the helmet, there's the shield of faith, there's a robe of, the girdle of truth, shoes of preparation. Are y'all wanting me to go ahead a little bit? I'm talking about holiness. Probably might get Brother Toole to sing a bar of that when I close this out. It's what I long for. That's not a song. That's a testimony. That's a confession. That's really saying what it is. Oh God, my God, early will I seek thee. My heart thirsteth after thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Whom do I have in heaven but thee? Oh God, I want so badly, if God will allow me the little span of time I've got on this earth, I want so badly to catch a hold of that next generation and be firm with them but yet loving. Tell them there's no excuse for copping out. There's no excuse for deviating. There's no excuse for coming short. They've got to live godly, righteously, and holy in this present generation. Amen. We're living in a lenient day where, oh, that's all right. God understands, bud. Just go ahead and don't do it anymore if you can help. No, we need to be more firm than that. It's not a matter of God understanding. God said, be holy. That's your duty. That's your, when you give yourself to God for holiness, God gives holiness to you. He supplies it. But you've got to go after it. You've got to go after it. God is holy. And David said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. When you pursue God, you're pursuing holiness. God is holy. Oh, holy God, I'm pursuing you. Well, if you're pursuing me, Philip Jethro, what are you pursuing? I'm pursuing holiness. I want the smell of it. I want the odor of it upon me. You remember, you've heard me say it through the years. That horn of oil in the Old Testament was not the little bottle like we carry in our pocket. It was a horn of oil. And, you know, God said to Samuel, go fill that horn of oil up and anoint whom I show you. And it was made, that oil was made by specific directions and ingredients. And it could not be deviated. It had to be done by the instructions. And it had an absolute distinct odor to it. There was no chance of people being mistaken. There was no odor like the odor of the anointing oil. Go to Jesse's house. Samuel goes to Jesse's house and the boys that come by, is this the one? No, there's one more. What's so unique about him? He's always back there playing his harp and singing. He's always saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We send him back there to get him out of the way. We send him back there because he's just so heavenly minded, he's not much earthly good, even though he did kill a bear and a lion. Go get him. They bring him up. We're gonna put the odor of God on you. Hello? We're going to pour the odor of God on you. Samuel gets that horn in his hand. David comes by, and he don't put two drops on him. He dumps the horn. Maybe as much as a gallon of oil. Just, you know, remember Aaron? They started to run down his beard, run down his feet. The anointing starts at the head. Who is the head? Jesus is the head. He anoints us. And Psalm 92 and 10 said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. None of that stale stuff. David comes, and David is not privy. All David is knows, he's been number two. He's been keeping number one. He's been watching his flock by night and day. He's been doing what he's been assigned to do. If you want to get the anointing upon you, do what you've been assigned to do. Witness for Christ. Honor Christ. David comes up there. He does not know. God has not whispered in his heart and said, you're going to be the next king and all that. God keeps some things classified because he's testing us out. And David comes up there and Samuel pours, and he hears a voice. Samuel does. This is the one. No mistaking. He doesn't mess around with language and fellowship and all. He pours the horn of oil, and it doesn't go away overnight. For days when the anointed one, oh, come on. When days the anointed one comes by, you smell him. Ooh, have you ever been around a Christian that you smell? Please don't misunderstand. I don't mean. I'm talking about you. There's something about them that you wanted to be like them. You just wanted to get close to them. They had, what is that odor I smell? It's the fragrance of the Holy Ghost. When they could get mad, they don't get mad. When they could show themselves, they don't do it. When things don't go their way, they take it in stride. That's the odor of God. They're not clannish. They're not biased. They're not, you know. Maybe I need to go get my other Bible now and preach. Can I give you two or three more? I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's in Ezekiel 36. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I know you understand this. I know you embrace this. People say, well, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's wrong. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not a Christian. There's a difference between having the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God having you. There's one baptism, but many fillings. I will be honest with you and tell you straight out, we ought to be filled every day. Every day of our life, we ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the command of Galatians 5:18. Amen? All right. And it shall come to pass, Joel chapter 2, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. There's so many things going on under the umbrella of Christianity that are disillusional, that observers look and they get sick. It putrefies them because the observer knows somewhat what we're supposed to be doing. And they see, there was a church on the West Coast just a few years ago. It was growing by leaps and bounds. It made some of the headlines on religious news, not in a positive way, in a very critical way, and rightfully so. They had a big sanctuary, and then they had a big fellowship to do right adjacent to it. And they started off having love feasts on Sunday evening, food and fellowship. Then they started bringing the music in. And then they started, after 9, having their Sunday evening dance. Y'all don't want to hear what I'm getting ready to say. And then they would cut the lights down, and they would say, feel for Jesus. And this lady minister was going to be speaking at that church. She didn't know all this. But when she got to the airport to get a car to go to the rendezvous, something spoke to her and said, you're headed into a hornet's nest. This is flagrant. This is ungodly. And she investigated, and she canceled her appointments out because she wasn't going to be a part of it. I can remember when the word Pentecost and dance went together in the spirit. I mean, I've had people literally getting mad with me because they wanted to get married in the church and they wanted to have they were going to do their dancing. And I said, we don't dance. There was a time, I can remember when that would have never been a question. See, I'm trying to show you how far we've gone away. well, we're not going to be jitterbug, and I don't care what you're going to be doing. If you got your arms around each other, you're going to be getting into territory that you ain't got no business in because you ain't married yet. I'm talking about things that we used to not have to even discuss. But it's nothing wrong with it, preacher. Show me where you can say there's nothing wrong with it. You've heard the illustration. Lady was cooking a cake, getting everything prepared. Sister Jennifer, we had some fellowship on. She wasn't cooking the cake, but her little girl come up, "Mom, I want to go so-and-so, or I want to watch." Maybe that's what it was. They want to watch a film. "No, you're not going to watch it because it's just not wholesome." And they pestering kept on. It's just a few words in it. So the mother said, "Okay, I'll tell you, let's get this cake made. Go in the yard where the chicken pen and get just a little pinch of manure." "What do you want manure for?" "Well, just a little bit won't hurt. So bring it back and we'll mix it in." "No, we can't do that. That's crazy. Where's your mind at, Mom?" "Well, that film that you want to watch just had a little bit in it. But it's going to do to your mind just what the manure would do to the cake batter. It'd ruin it." We've got to where we're justifying things so much that we see nothing wrong with anything. Get back to revival. We'll see a lot wrong with everything. But we'll be safe. "But pastor, you don't understand." I said, I don't back down. I don't give in. We are Pentecostal church. We're a holiness church, and we don't do that stuff. Can I get a witness out there? I'm telling it. I may not get a second chance, but I'm telling it. And if they were here, they'd hear it, wouldn't they? They're here. Be holy. Be yearning. Be pushing. Okay, I'm going to give you two or three more things. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 7 to 5. If I can find it. "In holiness, serving him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Holy people, people that are set apart, don't have to pray through. They have prayed through. Help me, somebody. We are spending so much of our time, and I said we're spending so much of our time trying to get ourselves justified that we're not able to pray for people who are in need. "Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm so..." Anybody ever prayed yourself to sleep? We had an all-night prayer meeting in the other... actually, it was in that little white church. Friday night prayer meeting all night long. And the brave came. The fearful and the unbeliever were shut out. And there's just a handful of us. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard an awful noise. I said, "That don't sound like prayer to me." So I got up enough bravery to raise my head up. I looked and laid behind the pulpit was this brother. He and his wife had just started coming to church a few weeks earlier, maybe a couple of months, I don't know. And he was stretched out and he was snoring. I said, "I'm not going to go wake that brother up. He's probably getting better sleep here than he ever would at home." But when he did wake up, I said, "Do you have a snoring problem?" "I don't snore." I said, "Oh, yes, you do. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be more like him." And I wish I could remember the tail end of these songs. "I want to be ready to meet him in glory land. Have y'all? I hope tonight has been worth the drive. I look at Brother Kenneth and Sister Wanda. They didn't, and Sister Elizabeth and Brother Jackie and Brother Jethro. And I look at a lot of y'all drove a lot of distance to come over here and hear me talk about holiness. And if that's what you came for, I don't want you to leave disappointed. Oh, the church of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Anybody ever heard that? Church of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, the church of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to... That's not going on tape, is it? How do you spell relief? J-E-S-U-S. He relieves the burdens of my life, the tensions of my life, the frustrations of my life. He delivers me from the evil one. He leads me not in the paths of unrighteousness, but in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He anoints my head with oil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, not just walk in it, but I walk through it. I've been, you know what I'm talking about. We've all been through those valleys. Look back over your rearview mirror and say, the devil would have got me if it hadn't been for God. But God saw me and had mercy upon me, and I come through another one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. Thou anointest my head with oil. And oh, glory to God. I'm going to give you all the best sights you've had tonight. Stand. I can promise you the only thing pre-planned about this was I was going to read you two or three verses, Luke 1:75. I was going to read that to you about holiness. But somehow the momentum began to build. I grew up in a holiness home. Not a pretentious thing, not a put on, but it was a holiness home. My mother had strong convictions to the day she died. We were talking in the hallway about, you know, maybe we want to make a rule where we don't wear neckties. Nothing to do with holiness, just to do with comfort. My mother would not wear a dress that showed her elbow. That's her conviction. She would not drink caffeine. She drank Postum. Anybody ever heard of Postum? You got to be strong to drink that stuff. She would not say hello. She said hell. I didn't say it right. She didn't say hello because it's H-E-L. Pick the phone up. Hell. I said, oh, go ahead and say hello. If she heard one of her children say, dang, whoo, out come the leather belt. That's right. If she heard us singing, she'll be coming around the mountain when she come. Toot, toot. Here come the belt. That is carnal. That is worldly. That is ungodly. And I grew up with that And now I hear people say, yeah, and so now he's finally showing why he's so narrow-minded. That's right. Yeah, that's it. Vain conversation. If she heard us playing marbles, saw us playing marbles, and we got a little bit ill with it. None of y'all ever played marbles, but oh, boy. She was the referee. The closest I ever heard her coming to... The closest she ever came to where we could have legitimately got her when I was 5 years old, I loved oatmeal. I'm holding you on. But I'm not going to get a chance to tell this story again, probably. I loved oatmeal. And she knew I loved oatmeal. And we lived in a house, every year the chickens would just go to the coop because they knew we were moving. And the house we lived in at that time, when you're going into Plymouth, you take a right on 45, and just about a half a mile, the house is gone, but that, in that field, that was where that, and it was a high house off the ground. And I just, the law of the land is, don't you go under that house. She just visualized rattlers and copperheads and everything under there. She had a lot of faith except when it comes to snakes. And I just went under that house, because when you say don't go, you know how that goes. I went under that house, and my dear mother come out and found out I was under that house, and she went and fixed her a bowl of oatmeal. Piping hot. I got something for you. Man, little dumb me. That's my mama. She loved me so much. Even though I'm under the house, she got me a bowl of oatmeal. I didn't see the other hand. I come out from under the house, get my bowl of oatmeal. She set that bowl of oatmeal down, and she grabbed me and put me across her knee, and me and that leather strap had a time. Oh, I won't do it no more. Please, you're killing me. When I got grown, I told her, I said, Mom, the closest that I ever was able to come to point my finger at you and say you fooled me was that day when you said, here, I got something for you. Well, she said, you don't understand. It was dangerous. There were snakes under there and all. Said, I had to protect you. I said, yes, ma'am. She had something for me, and she was free in giving it. Brother Tool, could you do a little bit of the musicians come? Could you do a little bit of that? We'll close out on that. Shake hands with your neighbor before Brother Tool comes up to sing and say, the preacher helped me out tonight. Is everybody all right? Any feathers ruffled? Any feelings hurt? So I won't get a lot. I won't get a lemon pie this week, will I? No, I don't want one. I don't want it. My trousers have got a weird way of drawing up. Of shrinking. It's still right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.